Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 50.
Yay!
Yes!
Yay!
I'm Jamie, your co-host.
I'm Tim.
I'm Alex.
And our special guest.
I'm Dan.
We have Dan Davis.
Dan Davis from 44 Minutes.
Yep.
And former host of The Seduction Hour with Dan Davis.
Yep. I had that show for 3 years in Santa Cruz. Yeah, I was up at KZSC Santa Cruz, up in the mountains.
I thought you guys were kidding about that.
Oh, no, that was the name of my actual radio
show. Oh, that's amazing.
The Seduction Hour with Dan Davis, and I am your host, Dan Davis.
That's so cool.
That was how I opened every show.
That was
the full name. That was the joke of it, was I was just like, wouldn't it be funny if it was called The Seduction Hour? Wouldn't it be funny if my name was in there? And even better, it's a 2-hour-long show. So it was good fun.
I imagine. That's amazing. I had no idea that was real.
No, I miss doing it. I want to do radio again, but the options for that, to do actual radio here, are perhaps a bit limited.
Sure.
Yeah.
So this episode is special in many ways. We are starting some new interactive topics. We'll get into that in a second. And because this show almost never happened past 38, thankfully, my two co-hosts, Alex and Tim here, this show has survived and thrived. And I wanted to also look back and acknowledge the roots. So I've reached out to every single guest we've had on the show so far, and then the original co-hosts, August and John, to get their perspective, the 2020, if you will, on the history of the show. Just about a year now, so it's pretty exciting that we're able to get to this point. And so we'll have that segment as the second topic for this week. Only two topics, but very big topics. Also keep in mind, we're doing a little brief mention about my 52 pickup again, which this week is Eraser. That was fun to watch.
Yes. We'll get to that. The Eraser.
Also, keep listening for the end. We're going to announce our communal movie. Tim will have a movie for us to all watch for next week. In the meantime, if you guys want to be interactive with us, we are on Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood. We are on Twitter, NQHPod. We have an email, which still has yet to be tapped. NotQuitePod@gmail.com if you have any long-form interactions you want to share with us. So,
our inbox is zero, so please be the first.
Yep. I even deleted the Gmail. Welcome to Gmail email. So there literally is nothing in there. I should have kept it so we had something.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when you have they say if you have change in your pocket all year, you'll never be broke. Yeah. I'm like, well, sure, but I put the change in a bank.
I mean, as all people should, right?
Eventually. It's a change. You kind of just amass a whole bunch of it, and then you throw it all in there. Okay.
Or you could go to the Coinstar and just...
For a nominal fee.
No. If you get the gift certificates, I don't mean to actually plug Coinstar. I'm just saying it's not a bad
Brought to you by Coinstar.
It's not a bad way to spend money on the internet.
Very true.
Yeah.
I think it's like Amazon, right?
Oh, yeah.
So Coinstar, if you want to sponsor, you can pay us in change.
Please.
So Coinstar.com/notquitepod.
Oh, there you go.
So we post every Thursday, and so please subscribe on iTunes there. This also posts to my blog, guyonawire.com. And so we have a whole bunch of other stuff there. My co-host, which you'll hear from soon, Brandon from We Need Movies. We do a YouTube show there. You know, I got a whole bunch of stuff. I'm doing my cancer story week by week. So that's something to look into as well. But let's get into the meat of this episode. So first and foremost, we have one of the most fascinating topics. So normally you go on Facebook and people have these little things like, what three movies define you? Like, that's a cool topic. But
like a top five or...
Yeah, something where it's like everybody can share their own perspective. And it's something that mildly or very temporarily unifies us in something that's not terrible in the world, which is nice. So I came across one here. Dan Davis, we're happy to have on the show, by the way. He had posted one from his friend, Aaron. That was, you name your favorite movie from every year since you were born. And I thought that was awesome. I was like, oh, that's great. Let's do that. Did not realize how hard it would be until I got on my paper. I'm like, shit.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of the most difficult things I've ever done.
It took me a couple hours of, like, actually going through some pretty substantial lists of, every movie that came out that year.
Yeah.
So, like, there were a lot of cases where I think I wrote down for a few of them. It's like, okay, these are the ones I remember from these years.
Yeah.
And a lot of them just had to change. Like, I was originally, for 2006, going to put Jackass number 2.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, that's when your Pan's Labyrinth came out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, that, I mean.
And it's just like, that one hurt a little bit.
I still feel like, I have my list, but I feel like we're going to go through. So I'm just going to say one, and I'm going to be like, that came out that year?
Right.
Like, you know, I feel like I'm missing some, but we'll see.
Well, I was finalizing mine last night, and I was doing that. Like, I was looking through another list. I'm like, shit, that one came out? Fuck, yeah. I forgot all about that. I stupidly started using Box Office Mojo. Thought it was brilliant at first. No, because it doesn't have pictures. It doesn't have... I mean, there's a lot of things to it, but obviously a lot of the films that come out may not have made a lot of money.
There's actually a set that I'm looking through right now, Wild About Movies. They go through every month, every like weekend, and what movies, notable movies came out the poster. It's extensive, so I feel like it's thorough. Yeah.
I will say what's cool about it, though. My online presence the past couple of years, having written a public top 10, made it super easy.
Right, you were able to go to your top 10 lists and kind of pull it from there.
It's too bad I've only done that for 2 years, though.
Yeah. But we're going to get right into it. So what I like to do is have each of us go year by year, starting from 2016, or some people here have done 2017 so far. If you want to, by all means, go ahead. Because there will be a lot of years where I'm just talking about myself. Yeah. I'm a little older.
So
Dan and I will be marathoning for a while.
And then eventually Jamie might pull out and win. Yeah.
Pull out? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. What's Alex, going on here?
I know. Getting a little graphic. So my 2017 so far is Get Out.
Okay.
I love horror, but I think it's a horror movie with something to say.
It's also just that good.
Yeah.
It's that rare case of a movie. It's just like, oh, no hype. It's just, it's there. Yeah. It's like, good. I know I'm going to like this movie in 5 years.
Oh, yeah. And like, is that yours too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So far, that's been my favorite.
I mean, yes, you're right. Get Out is a fucking amazing movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure where it's going to end up in my top 10 this year, but I just couldn't do 2017 justice with not knowing 3/4 of it. So.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So we'll start with you, Alex. What was your 2016?
2016 was La La Land, obviously. We've talked about that a lot on the podcast.
I have never heard of that movie. Could you please tell me about it?
we actually were sitting next to a poster with a post-it on it that says Best Picture, because we're still mad about that.
There's a blue sticky note that says Best Picture.
But, so definitely La La Land for 2016.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
I mean, La La Land was for me as well, 2016.
I mean, there's no surprises there. If you listen to the show, you know that's the case. Mine, again, was the upset, I guess, if you will. It was Arrival. And you'll see this theme going on my entire list, but sci-fi has always been a part of my life in a very significant way. So you'll see a lot of them here.
Mine was Edge of 17, because that movie was awesome. It's like one of the best written things I've ever seen. And everyone was just, like, perfectly cast. I never thought Woody Harrelson would have been, like, a really good, snarky, weird high school teacher, but he was awesome. But it's one of those, like, movies that it's just, like, it's a comedy, but the real substance of, like, the human drama in it, like, that movie kind of hurts at points. Like, it's good. And I think it's a movie that people kind of skipped over, too. I think that's something that comes up a lot in my list, where I wasn't just thinking about my favorite movie, I was thinking about, like, what are movies that people needed to see from that year that they may have missed?
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to look at it.
But Edge of 17, but oftentimes it's because those are my favorite movies. Like Edge of 17 is that good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but great things.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Awesome. Yeah. Hayley
Steinfeld.
Steinfeld. She's so good.
Yeah. I love when they cast people who look like actual teenagers that can act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm assuming
she's 18, 19 now.
So yeah, that's about right.
2015. What do you got, Alex?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go with Star Wars Force Awakens. It was a tough choice, but yeah, Star Wars Force Awakens, I think, just blew me away. Like, I saw it twice in theaters, and I was like, I know now people hate on it. They're like, oh, if the other ones didn't exist, you know, it wouldn't be as good. But I'm like, but they do exist, and it is
it's
as good.
It's just a good movie.
You know, after the prequels, it's just, like, so refreshing to see a good new Star Wars movie. So yeah, I think Star Wars Force Awakens for sure.
For me, it was Kingsman: The Secret Service.
Wow, nice.
Because I just don't, like, I mean, I thought it was going to be a lot of fun, and I always loved Colin Firth, but oh my gosh, I had so much fun. But looking at the behind the scenes, too, like, the amount of practical effects that they put in, that thing was fucking phenomenal.
Well, didn't they almost drown half the cast in that scene?
Well, they broke a lot of cameras. Like, that was always set so that they can pull out whenever they need to, But it was supposed to be a lot more elaborate, but then they started... like, cameras started not being able to handle it, so they actually had to do what they did. Like, they kind of made that happen out of the fly.
Okay.
Yeah, and the way that they produced that movie, too, like, they, like, made it and then they sold it. It wasn't like a studio wow. movie. Yeah, so Matthew Vaughn did a great job with that, so I was just super impressed with it.
For sure. It's sad even he has to do that kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm not going to be able to get this movie made, so I'll just make it. Like, damn it, people. Hollywood, that was a fun-ass movie. That was a better Bond than the frickin' Bond that year.
Or, oh, yeah.
No,
oh,
Spectre. Yeah. My 2015, again, sci-fi is going to cover this entire list, or most of it, my favorite of 2015 was Ex Machina. Holy shit.
That was good.
It yeah. stuck with me the entire year. That came out like that April of 2015. It's such a powerful, and it's almost realistic in a very immediate way. Like, within 20 years, this could be reality where this machine is so smart to, you know, to fully Turing test? Turing?
Yeah.
I just love the performances. Obviously, Oscar Isaacs, Donald Gleason, and then at that time, newcomer Alicia Vikander, and now she's mm-hmm. crazy. She won for, what was it?
It was Danish Girl.
Yeah, she won for that, right?
Yeah.
And then, which is weird because she should have won for Ex Machina. I just love that movie.
Mine for 2015 was Man from Reno, which is a movie nobody heard about for good reason, because it only played in like a handful of theaters. This is back when I was still living in Orange County, and it was playing at the really fantastic theater they have near UCI. I wouldn't really call it an art house movie. It was just a really small budget, like, detective story. And it was like, oh, it's a mystery movie where the mystery is compelling and like the turn is really good. And I haven't seen this movie before. I like detective stories. This is a good, solid detective story. It's still on Netflix. Go watch it.
Wow.
It's called Man from Reno?
Man from Reno, yes.
Right. I'm actually making a list now of ones that you guys are saying that I haven't seen.
Wait, have you seen Ex Machina?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, wait, you gotta watch it now.
Just forget we'll the podcast.
Yeah, the podcast. So, yeah, what's your 2014?
My 2014 is Boyhood. I know there are a lot of haters, and there are a lot, it was like but Team Boyhood wrong. And Team Birdman that year for Oscar, like La La Land and Moonlight. But I feel like Boyhood, I mean, it was literally like revolutionary. Nobody had ever shot a movie over, you know, 15 years, however long it was. And then also, well, to me, it was very meaningful because it was almost like he grew up the same time I grew up. Yeah. So all of the, they had the Britney Spears song, they had all these references, they had the, my favorite line in the movie is when he's like, do you ever think there's going to be another Star Wars movie? Sure enough, the next year there's a Star Wars movie. And so just the editing alone, like, I'm like, how much footage did they go through? Like, I could see when Disney announced the Star Wars, Richard Linklater calls up his editor and he's like, remember we had this line? You gotta put that line in the movie because it's not in there right now. And they're doing another one. I feel like it's so iconic, especially for people my age. And we grew up all in that time.
Really quick to that. That movie, it frustrated me because it's such a beautiful idea. And it kind of meandered because he came back every summer and kind of wrote some new stuff. But I guess that's part of why it's good, though, too, because it's about specific child growing up. Mm-hmm. And that it's a really good story that way. It's just sometimes it doesn't feel like it has a narrative. And it really kind
of
doesn't.
Well, Linklater movies, he's one of my favorite directors for that reason, where it's just like, I feel like one of his strengths is that he perhaps doesn't think of narrative way that's like at all stratified with whatever anyone else is doing.
I think he's more about character.
It's like one of the movies on this list is a movie that essentially has no plot that he directed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to put that out there. I think that's why people hated it, or some people didn't like it.
They're just like, oh, that movie didn't really end. I'm like, it left when it left. That's the end.
I would say to that idea, I'd love to see that idea used more often in different ways. I just, it's always on me, because the onus is always on me to hate it, because it's not that I hate it again, but it's that I wanted to see this idea, and my mind just race with all these different ways this idea could be utilized.
Yeah.
And that's why. It was on me.
Also, I think Patricia Arquette's a great actress, but I think she fully owes the Oscar to Richard Linklater, because if he hadn't done the shooting over 13 years, she was crying in that scene because it was like the last time shooting and she was saying goodbye to everyone there.
Yeah.
And it was like,
it was a family.
And they had been shooting for 13 years. So if she had done that, you know, just if they had just shot the movie, I don't think it would have been as powerful.
Right, and it was cool because you could really see these people mature as actors, especially the kids, but as they grew up.
Yeah.
And it's really not, you know, it's a really cool thing to see. Like, you know, you've seen Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette in everything, and then to see this progression of their career in one fell swoop is fucking amazing.
And that kid, like, can you imagine casting that kid and being like, okay, you're going to be with us for this many years if you grew up to be ugly or whatever it is.
Or if he died.
What if someone died? Yeah, like, oh my God.
So, 2014.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Babadook.
Oh, The Batman. Oh,
yeah. I still haven't seen it.
Oh,
so it's good. On Netflix, so I believe.
Good. No, I know. It's torturing me.
Yeah, I liked it a lot because it was a horror film that actually had an idea of what it wanted to do before it started, because the whole metaphor behind it was so solid. Like, towards the end when he got there, like, when you see what happens right at the end, some people are like, well, it didn't actually end, and there was no point, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, that's kind of how life is. And, like, this is just a manifestation of how a lot of your demons would be. You know, and it was terrifying. It was Australian, and they did such a good job with it. And, like, you don't really see the monster all that often, but, like, all the devices they used were absolutely terrifying.
Hmm.
So I really enjoyed it. It was, like, the atmosphere of the film was scary. It wasn't a lot of jump scares.
I actually am not a big fan of that film, I think, for the reasons that you said. Maybe I need to revisit it, but, yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome.
2014 was the first year on this list that was fucking difficult. There were so many I wanted to choose from.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Gone Girl was on the list just for a nod. It wasn't ever going to make the top one. Guardians, Interstellar, Birdman, Nightcrawler, Whiplash. I went with one that, partially to what you said, Dan, to kind of give more of a spotlight to it, was Snowpiercer.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
was that was 14? So good.
Yeah.
Well, oh, my God. Yeah, I think
it
might
see, that's the thing. It was released in 2014 based on Google. I'm pretty sure it was one of those that kind of skirted the edge of release.
There's a couple.
It released a couple years before that in Korea.
Okay.
Which was fascinating to hear, because when I told my dad about it, I'm like, it just came out. He's like, I saw that like 2 years ago. And I'm like, oh, man, we're late.
Screw you, Dad.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for killing you, my elitist boss, man.
I know.
That's how I feel when I talk to people in Maine. Like, oh, I saw that. Like, I won't get that for another month and a half.
That's how I feel all the time. Sorry. I'm like, yep, I saw this.
No, but Snowpiercer is amazing. It's a great sci-fi that it deals with themes of, like, class and your place in the world, and it's fucking just brilliant in every way. Chris Evans, one of his best performances.
Yeah.
Period.
Tilda Swinton was fucking amazing.
She was great.
I had no idea it was her for, like, the first few seconds, and I'm like,
so good.
Wait,
that movie also is my favorite kind of ending, without spoiling it for anyone who just hasn't seen it yet, not to be a dick, but love when movies just like get away with what Snowpiercer did.
Yeah.
Just like, oh yeah.
I cannot remember how that ended.
It's...
We'll get to it later.
Great. Yeah, we'll talk about it after we...
Mine was a Lego movie.
Nice.
Yeah. That movie's
nice,
so
nice,
good.
Nice.
Like, it's just like, no, that's the poster on my wall. The Lego movie is a movie I will watch over and over and over again. It's, I think, the best example of, like, the Lord Miller, like, kind of sense of humor, filmmaking style. And it was just like, oh, this movie could have been absolute garbage. It's based on a toy.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh, no. But that was the brilliance of it. I've been just making it about Legos. It's just that Legos are whatever the hell you want. So they made a movie that was whatever the hell they wanted. And Will Arnett's Batman. So good.
Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The bad cop was amazing.
Hi, everybody.
That was one of the best movies about creativity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
And it's just about childhood innocence, too, because the twist at the end is really cool.
I think that's the theme.
I love that. Will Ferrell is so good. 2014, great year. Hard to pick anything.
Yep. 2013.
And speaking of hard to pick, I had one of the best movie-going experiences I've ever had in 2013 when I went to see Gravity. But Gravity, first 10 minutes was awesome. But I think my favorite movie of the year is Her. Because Her has the rewatchability. And I've watched it about 3 times in different stages of my life. Like after a breakup or when I first get with someone or... You know, just when I'm ready to be by myself and not in a relationship. And I see it totally different every time.
Yeah.
Like, the ending leaves you kind of, like, open. And so it's like, every time I watch it, I feel like I think he does something else at the end. It says a lot about relationships. And it's weird that it does that because it's like, he's in a relationship with a computer. But it just has so many layers to it.
It's like the pre-Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
That was, for me, more than Ex Machina, something that was, like, in the more immediate future, things that could possibly happen.
Oh, for sure.
Just because, like, what was it? Were they developing a game called Charlie or whatever it was for the Xbox One?
That little sick creature, boy creature?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And, like, and he would remember, things, like, how was that test yesterday? And then it was an actual, like, AI that you would just sit and talk to. And I'm like, oh, man, this is, like, a really cool concept, but it's also fucking terrifying that this is actually happening now. Mine actually was Gravity, because I saw that at a film festival, and we were the, like, second to last person to get in, and we saw it in the second row in 3D, just, like, scrunched all the way back.
So
it was brutal, but it was so amazing, and after the movie was over, my friend and I just sat there, and she's like, can we just sit here for a little bit? I'm like, yeah, and she curls up in a little ball. Like, we're so happy we're on Earth right now.
Yeah. I really believe that if you can watch a movie in the second row and you like it, it's a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Cloverfield is like that for me. Oh, wow. Yeah. That movie wrecked my eyes. Yeah.
I saw being in that row. I saw Iron Man in second row.
I preface this list saying it was sci-fi laden. And, yeah, her and Gravity could easily be that list. I chose another one, which I had only caught up with in 2015. And it is now one of my favorite movies of all time. It is the love story about time. So Richard Curtis, who did Love Actually, and he's like the co-creator and co-writer of The Bean Show. No kidding, Mr. Bean. He did this movie, and if you've seen Love Actually, it's almost trying to get your emotions, but I don't know. To me, like, those kinds of movies can transcend the over-the-top, like, really desperately trying to get your emotions. So with About Time, it's Donald Gleason again and Rachel McAdams, which I usually don't like at all. I don't know why.
Because she was a bitch in The Notebook.
And the Mean Girls. Mean Girls.
Her character. But she's such a great actress, though.
I know. She can sell it. Yeah. Yeah. If there's a bitch in a movie or an asshole in a movie, they're good actors.
Usually.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they're just assholes in real life.
Which happens.
But no, About Time to me was just, if you haven't seen it, don't look at a trailer or anything, because trailers give everything away. Just watch it. It's really endearing.
Sorry, I remember that movie now.
Oh, my God. There's a scene with Donald and Bill Nighy, who plays his dad. It is one of the most touching things I've ever seen in my life. And, yeah, before I get all emotional, here you go.
No. So my 2013 was The Act of Killing, which...
That's a documentary, right?
Yeah, it's a documentary. I'm of the opinion that I think the Academy Awards has this problem with documentary and animated films, where they're just like... I understand the reason the category exists is these things would never get nominated for Best Picture, nominated for anything, if those categories didn't exist, but The Act of Killing is absolutely harrowing, and I was kind of fucked up for a couple hours after I saw it, but do you guys know what it's about, or have you?
I saw the sequel, The Look of Silence.
Oh, yeah, I still haven't seen that
one. Okay, I have it if you want to borrow it.
Thank you. But, yeah. But no, the Act of Killing was one of the best movies I've ever seen, but it was also just like, it's like, oh... This is a movie where we have, like, an intimate, like, amount of time spent with the guy who killed potentially, like, hundreds of people, thousands of people personally, and was part of, like, the death squads in Indonesia that may have killed millions of people. Just as a piece of cinema, too, like, that whole device of, like, having him interact with his own past by making his own short films about the things he was doing.
He was in danger as well, making it, like, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And just, it's really weird to feel empathy for him in that scene at the end where he's, like, he's confronting everything that he's done. Oh, it's a fantastic movie if you see it. Calling it a gut punch is a little bit of an understatement. Like, I was really fucked up for, like, a while after I saw that. But Act of Killing is one of my favorite movies, and I think should have been a Best Picture nominee. But because they never... And that was a great year for documentaries, too. The Square came out that year.
Yeah. My 2012 is Skyfall.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I love Skyfall. I had actually just gone to England the year before I saw it. So, like, all the places they went, I was like, oh, I was there. The subway scene is awesome. It was on the roof with the lights behind him. It was beautiful. Yep. I thought Javier Bardem was, like, almost Oscar-worthy in that.
Such a great villain.
I love Skyfall, yeah.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Bond.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the song...
Yeah.
I wasn't I wasn't like a big fan about it. It was Skyfall. It didn't give her range. Like, Adele, you got busted out. But she had a vocal surgery. I get it.
Mine was Perks of Being a Wallflower.
That's really fucking
good. That movie wrecked me.
That was so good.
I'm gonna add that to my list.
I mean, that was also the same year as, like, Wreck-It Ralph. It was just, like, a whole year where I'm just, like, I'm feeling tears. But yeah, Perks of Being a Wallflower.
See, you motherfucker, you made me think about it. So I had Locked on my list pretty early on. Looper.
Yep, I love Looper.
But fuck, man, you made me think of Wreck-It Ralph again.
Uh-huh.
And I cannot fight my urges. Wreck-It Ralph is amazing.
Yes!
Yeah.
That year, Pixar and Disney switched. Brave should have been the Disney movie, and Pixar should have done Wreck-It Ralph.
So your official pick is Wreck-It Ralph?
Yep.
Okay.
Yay! That was my second choice, so I'm so happy someone picked it!
Mine for 2012 was The Guard, which is John Michael McDonough, Martin McDonough's his brother, who did another movie I put on this list, but that movie's so good. It's just like, oh, what if a buddy cop movie was better than any buddy cop movie you'd ever seen, was set in Ireland, and was just better?
Yeah.
Like it was just, like, it was, like, funny and, like, sad and earnestly really violent and, like, almost comically pokes fun at its own genre while being more realistic than any, like...
Yeah.
Like when the shootouts happen and the boat's on fire at the end, it's like, oh, this is completely insane, but it's like, that's how it would go down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love that movie so much.
Never seen it. I want to so bad. I loved Calvary.
I have it. Calvary's, I'm going to say, the better between the two, just because that movie's
Sure.
Is oh, so Calgary. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I have the guard. You nice. Gotta.
Yeah.
It's
sure,
so good.
For sure.
Yeah.
So my 2011.
Yep.
Right. My 2011 is one of my favorite movies of all time. Drive for 2011.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is so so good. I think it's. I still have never seen a movie like it. It's like the perfect mix of blockbuster and indie, and the music and just everything about it's just so good.
I think that movie, Double Edged Sword, was his marketing. It got more people in the seats, but a lot of people were disappointed. It looked like Fast and Furious. Yeah.
I actually went because I saw Bryan Cranston was in it, and I'm super into Breaking Bad, so I went for him, and I left for Ryan Gosling, pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. Mine will have to be My Week with Marilyn.
Oh, wow. I've never seen
that. That has been on my list for so long.
I think the first time that I saw a biopic like that works so beautifully, because she's a terrible person, mentally unstable. She's a very difficult person, but somehow in this, like, you just fall in love with her so much. And Michelle Williams was just stunning in that. Same with Eddie Redmayne.
2011 was another hard year for me. There was In Time, which I loved unabashedly. I watched it years later. I'm like, oh, that's actually really fucking good. I loved Gattaca. So Andrew Niccol.
Yeah.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil, Take Shelter. It was a hard year. I loved The Adjustment Bureau. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I loved it. I almost picked that. I picked 50-50 because I went there.
I still never saw 50.
So good. I went with my friend, really good, close friend, and my brother, whom we all shared commonality because of the cancer and everything. And I was like, okay, we're going to go together. And they cried. I didn't really cry. Because, I don't know, it was such a powerful movie, and it had a lot of great character actors.
Editing post.
Like Matt Frewer was in there, and I love Matt Frewer since I was a kid. And great movie, based on a true story, a lot of heart,
and a lot of
reality, which is what is important about it.
My 2011 was originally going to be Submarine, and then I remembered, oh right, the story of film was a 2011 thing.
I saw that.
Is a documentary that is unbelievably long. It's got like 11, 12, 13 parts. Is it Mark Cousins? He's a Irish filmmaker and film critic, and it's one of the most substantial movies, documentaries about film history I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But part of the reasons why it's one of my favorites is that, one, I love long-form documentaries, but two, he has this whole thing where he notes that a lot of film history is kind of like racist by omission, and it's about, and he's about like, hey, let's actually talk about like African cinema, or how on some level Japanese cinema is perhaps a more substantial example of classic cinema than a lot of the stuff that we think of as American classic cinema. It's really worth investing the time in. It's like very dryly funny. It's a great way to like sort of reorient the way you think about movies historically.
2010. Movie that's very close to my heart, Toy Story 3.
All right, Tim?
Inception.
That was close. I have between those two. It was Toy Story 3 that went out for me.
Restrepo.
Oh, so
absolutely love that movie.
Yeah.
So my 2009 was District 9. I just thought it was revolutionary for sci-fi and alien movies. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
I loved Coraline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought that stop motion made a huge comeback with that.
Yep. My favorite Tarantino movie, Inglourious Bastards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mine was A Serious Man.
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite Coen movie. It's one of the most brutal movies they've done. Please watch it sooner rather than later if you haven't seen it.
2008 was The Dark Knight, because Heath Ledger still blows my mind every time with that performance. I can't.
Yeah, that was mine, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was never going to pick that as my top. It was always Wall-E for me.
Wow.
That was a hard year for me because of Wall-E, actually. But I went for In Bruges because that was my introduction to Martin McDonagh. And I'm like, this movie is so good. It's everything I want.
Yep.
It's got that like funny, sad thing that I kind of crave.
Oh, yeah.
No Country for Old Men, 2007.
Yeah. Yep.
So, so good. One of my favorite Coen Brother movies.
Yeah.
2007 for me was La Vie en Rose.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Marion Cotillard was just stunning.
My 2007 was also No Country for Old Men.
Oh, wow. We're in agreement.
Yes, we are.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
My 2007 was a Korean film called Secret Sunshine, which is another like, this is like a great film, but like, watch if you think you might be emotionally stable that day, because a lot of really horrible stuff happens in the process of it.
So my 2006 was Children of Men. Cinematography is beautiful. Story's so great.
My 06 is Pan's Labyrinth for sure. I mean, yeah, it's just Sublime. A beautiful I've film. Seen Pan's Labyrinth. Fantasy film.
Oh my god. See, you'd have the same problem we all had.
Yeah.
Because I was down to those two. And I just chose now Children of Men. But only slightly because, I don't know, it just, fuck, man. Again, sci-fi, but fuck, Pan's Labyrinth is like one of the best fantasy films ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Pan's Labyrinth is mine. It's that good. Please see it soon.
Yeah, it's like, fucking it's, amazing.
I'm adding that to my
list. It's Del Toro's best movie.
I agree.
And, out of a lot of great films.
100%.
And like, I mean, just the practical effects and all that stuff that went into it.
I can't believe that so movie beautiful. Got made at all.
Yeah. I know.
Like, yeah.
2005, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Nice. Yeah. For me. Great film. Shane Black at his best.
Lots and lots of fun.
Brokeback Mountain for me.
Never saw it.
Ugh.
I love it's
destroyed Ang Lee, me. Yeah. It's Ang Lee, Asian director directing a gay cowboy movie, just destroyed me.
Can you tell me what my 2005 is, please, Tim?
Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah. Brokeback Mountain was one of the best love stories
ever. Ugh, it's so
it's
good.
Heartbreaking. It's heart wrenching. It is devastating.
Brick.
Brick, yeah.
Ryan Johnson's. I saw that movie much, much later when I was in college at a midnight screening, and I was like, oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
This is why he's a famous director now.
and he's from Orange County. So
oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Reppin' my home area. Not a lot else to rep.
So my 2004 is also very close to my heart. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind for 2004.
Yep.
So good.
Incredibles is my...
Incredibles. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Incredibles was on my list, and so was The Village, because people hated it, but I loved it.
I loved it!
I know. Ugh. Tim and I are...
I like that movie.
Incompatico. Mine was Eternal Sunshine as well. Eventually, in the end, it was something that was, at the time, I had something I hadn't seen, and I was in college. I'm like, oh, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, what a fucking movie to watch. Like, definitely a college movie, but it's held up since then.
Mine for 2004 is Vital, which is a movie by Shinya Tsukamoto, who's one of my favorite Japanese directors. Known for a lot of, like, really intense body horror. This movie was a bit different.
Okay.
For him, it was basically a guy, about a guy doing an autopsy on his... because he's in a medical class.
Oh.
But he has no memory, so he sort of figures out who he is and who...
Oh, that's wow. Amazing.
It's so good. But it's a weird movie for him and an odd introduction, but probably the most palatable one. Mm-hmm. So, Shinya Tsukamoto, Vital, 2004.
Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yeah.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we'll go to your big toe.
That was 2003.
Yeah, the first part.
This was another very difficult year. Lily, Return of the King.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. What?
You haven't seen Big
Lord
Fish?
Of the Rings?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was a high pitch.
Or Big Fish. But, yeah.
Big Fish is mine. Because it is another fantasy that's Big Fish just is so beautiful. So
2003 was an incredibly hard year for me.
Yeah.
But I ended up going with Los Angeles Plays Itself. Came out in 2003, but wasn't wide released until, I think, only a couple years ago. About movies in Los Angeles. The way that movies talk about and use the city and its texture.
So my 2002... I guess it's Spider-Man, because it was between Spider-Man and The Ring. Oh. So I guess it's Spider-Man.
Sure.
It's pretty good.
Sure. The one that stuck out to me was Chicago.
Oh, nice.
I've never seen Chicago.
I haven't either.
One of the best movie musicals I've seen. Like, the Cell Block Tango sequence is just fucking amazing.
My 2002 was hard for me. There wasn't a lot that, to me, felt right. In the end, I picked... Spider-Man, because it was the first like really really high quality. I mean, X-Men was before it, but Spider-Man was just so well done, and I was so happy to see Sam Raimi
do
something mainstream.
My 2002 was Secretary, which if anyone hasn't seen that
James
movie,
Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yes,
I haven't seen.
Love
it.
That movie. It's one of my favorite romance movies. It's the movie that proves to me continually that. Beyond the fact that it's just terribly written, but 50 Shades of Grey can just get fucked.
Yeah. they try. No one wants to fuck it.
But. No. But no, Secretary is a really wonderful... It's like a weirdly like sweet, kind of odd comedy romance about S&M and the relationship between her and her boss and stuff.
That's
and
cool.
I love it so much.
2001 is Beautiful Mind.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. It was the same with me.
So
Beautiful
good.
Mind.
Beautiful Mind. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I just feel like the one that keeps coming back in my mind is Vanilla Sky. Cameron Crowe, it was kind of a different departure for him in a way. It wasn't necessarily, I mean, obviously the soundtrack was still on point, but it wasn't necessarily his type of film that he had done years prior, and Vanilla Sky was just great.
My favorite was Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes.
It's a great movie.
You know, penis and vagina. Oh, no, absolutely. Sex, you idiot.
Yeah.
So 2000 is Requiem for a Dream.
Yep. Yeah, Aronofsky.
Awesome.
Love that
awesome,
movie.
Awesome.
Mine was Gladiator.
Nice.
I was just to die for about Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And that movie, like, even I watched it a couple years ago, and I feel like it still held up. Like, I loved it.
2000 for me was a tough one. We talked about it in the podcast. If you listen to the show, you know we had a big contention between August, John, and I. Castaway. Love the movie. They say it's more commercial and it's not as substantial as it had once been. They're kind of right.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
That was the movie. I'd probably seen a Coen Brothers movie before, but that was the first time I recognized a Coen Brothers movie. Nice. And it just buried into me. I love that movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
1999 was Being John Malkovich.
Oh, yeah. It was close. Yeah. 99 was a hard year.
Yep.
99, right?
Yep.
Seen Matrix.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, it's revolutionary.
VFX revolutionary, just like it sticks in my mind.
Yep. So, yeah, my 99, it was almost Being John Malkovich. I love that movie so fucking much. But now I realize it's American Beauty.
My 99 is Magnolia.
Oh, it's so good. Hard not to pick that.
Oh, that's, yeah.
98 was Saving Private Ryan.
Wow. I
think it's so
good.
Yeah, it is good.
So cool.
And thankfully, so you took that because it was either that or Prince of Egypt for me.
Really? Nice.
Love Prince of Egypt.
Hashtag Old Testament.
I know. Yeah.
My 98 was The Truman Show.
Mm. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I still can't get enough of that movie.
Dark City is my 98.
Nice.
Worst advertised movie of that year, probably, but a great like science fiction fantasy by Alex Proyas.
1997. Yeah. I was struggling with because Air Bud was a contender, but it's Good Will Hunting. Good Will Hunting for
Air Bud was 1997. Get the fuck out of here.
I loved Air Bud. Shut up.
The best movie.
There's no rules that say a dog.
I know.
He tells the dog to swim away in the lake, and he's swimming, and he can't get to.
There's no rules that you can't choose it either.
But yeah, Good Will Hunting. For sure.
Mine probably just because again I didn't Liar.
Oh, okay, that was one of the funniest comedies.
So good.
I love that so much.
So good.
Mine was almost Good Will Hunting. I ended up going with Boogie Nights, because fuck man,
that movie's.
I've only seen half of it actually.
Wait, the first half.
First half.
So you missed the
but I saw the last frame.
I'm sure you did.
I saw the last frame because I was in someone else's room and they're like, "Come out here," and I was like, "Why?" Like,
Mark Wahlberg.
I was like, "Oh, there it is."
Hello.
That's the last frame in the movie.
Yes.
Oh wow.
97. My 97 was Princess Mononoke.
Oh, I almost had that too. Oh
yes, that one's amazing.
It's technically because it came out in the U.S. in 99, but like when there's that much of a gap,
for sure, it makes sense.
Favorite Miyazaki.
My favorite Miyazaki.
Yeah. Oh man,
It's either that for me or Nausicaa.
96 was my favorite Coen Brothers movie, Fargo.
Yeah,
That was Fargo.
Fargo was so good, and the TV shows just as good.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
One of their darkest movies.
I know. That period. I love that.
Horror was dying, and in 96 it was revitalized with Scream.
Oh.
Yes.
Scream. I kind of hate myself like for picking that.
It was the first time I had seen a movie that broke the fourth wall. It was about the genre of horror, and that's what started me and my fascination with that kind of stuff.
Mine is Fargo.
Yeah, awesome. Fargo, fuck yourself.
Fargo, fuck yourself.
Yeah.
So, my 1995. It's not Toy Story.
Whoa.
No.
Oh.
No. It's Before Sunrise.
Oh, nice.
For 1995.
Very cool. Linklater.
I love it. It's my favorite romantic trilogy for sure.
I love
there's
those
not many
movies.
Of those.
How many of those are there?
There's three.
No, I mean how many romantic trilogies are there?
Yeah, exactly. But it's definitely my favorite romantic movie. It's so good.
Oh. No, I love that movie.
Oh, then I'll go with Toy Story. Toy Story was my childhood.
Yep. Toy Story is mine as well.
Lion.
Isn't it pronounced Lahine?
Well, it's based on what I remember how they pronounced it in the movie, it's Lahain, but I could be wrong.
No, you're
but
not.
It's a,
right.
It's a French, I don't know, it's a movie about these like three kids from kind of like some of the poorer areas of France, like going into Paris and just like dealing with cops treating people like shit and like crime. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the coolest looking movies I've ever seen, one of the best shot, like a masterclass in like cinematography. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Vincent Cassel,
yeah.
August brought it up in the podcast months ago, and I have yet to see it, but he talked about it with such passion, like you are. I have to say.
Oh, and another one of those, like one of the great last frames, like in any movie.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Yeah.
Just like Boogie Nights.
I mean, less penis, but.
So my 1994 is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
film school answer, but it's great.
I mean, it's a film school film.
Forrest Gump is my 94.
Okay. Yeah, my former co-host shit on that movie a lot. So there's an issue, right, with it, because there really is a strong criticism that the character doesn't change. It makes sense. I get that. But it's still a fun movie. I like seeing
it. But I feel like that's also the point. That's kind of the point. Where it's like, exactly. It's either you see the impact is either you see their journey and they change, or they don't change.
Or how they change others.
It's about the world that happens around them.
And he can still be the same person throughout it all. I get it. No, I know. Yeah. 1994, Pulp Fiction as well. It was a hard year, but I picked that.
My 94 is Clerks. It was hard not to pick Pulp Fiction, but it's like, that was, I think, my favorite case of a movie I was definitely not supposed to watch when I saw it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was my stepdad walked in on me watching. He's like, you're stopping that now. I know what goes on in that movie. I love Clerks.
Great film.
That's awesome.
So, 1993 is Jurassic Park, my final pick. Jurassic Park.
Interesting. Oh, wait. That was the year you were born.
Yeah. Yes.
This is the first one. The first one that's
I'm
done.
Coming up soon. So.
All right. Well, hey, good film there. Nothing wrong with that.
Mine was Schindler's List.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So you would watch it again?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it was just so beautifully done. The use of the black and white, which is like, I feel like Nye's attack on it was so intentionally black and white.
Well, they used color when necessary.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought it was so beautifully done.
He did both those movies?
They were both released in that year.
Again, sci-fi, my favorite film in 93 is literally Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Nothing could ever beat that. I'm sorry. Jurassic Park's amazing, but Groundhog Day will always be my favorite. It's the perfect film. Feels like you watch it a million times when you watch it once.
I think my issue was I just recently saw it all the way through for the first time. And I think it's been done so many times in other movies and TV shows, like that idea that it wasn't like, oh, this is the first time this has been done.
Mine was Dazed and Confused. It was hard not to pick Groundhog Day.
Linklater.
Yeah, Linklater, one of my favorite filmmakers, and Dazed and Confused is that's the high school movie.
All right. My 92 pick is Disney, and it's Aladdin.
Aladdin was also mine. And this sounds crazy because I wanted to pick Reservoir Dogs, but I was like, you know what? Aladdin to me was as a child revolutionary, and I love Reservoir Dogs. Don't get me wrong, but Aladdin.
Mine was also hard not to pick Reservoir Dogs, but Wayne's World came out that year.
Yeah,
It's like no, I love Reservoir Dogs. It's my favorite Tarantino, but Wayne's World came out that year.
Yes,
it's also my favorite Tarantino.
My final pick.
Uh-oh.
It's a Disney movie too. It's the first one to be nominated for a best film. Which
that's right,
Beauty and the Beast.
Good choice there. I mean, it's like the same level as Snow White and Cinderella because it's just so classic.
It's so
yet
good.
It came out so much later.
Yeah, so good.
The Renaissance. Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, all in that five
and
years.
None of us had Lion King. I think it was...
it was between that and Forrest Gump.
My 91 was kind of hard to pick as well, in a way. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Armor of God 2, Operation Condor. So one of my favorite Jackie Chan movies. Released here as Operation Condor when it first came out. And it obviously came out much later in the States than it did when it came out in Hong Kong. But holy shit, that movie is so
it
much
was
fun.
So good.
Like the sequence with the towel, in the hotel room. He grabs her arms and hits the guy using her arms.
It's amazing.
And it's so funny.
I haven't watched it in so long.
It's probably my favorite Jackie Chan movie, and that's a hard thing to say.
But Super Cop, Rumble in the Bronx is so good.
So now it's Dan and I.
90 for me was a hard year as well. I picked my favorite movie. Again, a very perfect movie. It transcended so many genres. Ghost.
Oh, Ghost.
Not even kidding.
Very good.
Love that movie.
My 90, and I really do genuinely have to run, is Total Recall. I didn't realize it came out in 90. There were other movies that I wanted to be 90 that were 89. It's my favorite Verhoeven. It's my favorite Schwarzenegger movie. Has some of the greatest Schwarzenegger lines, but they're good. And he acts well in it, which is surprising.
So, so you mean you're headed out now?
Yeah, I got to go. Thanks so much for being on the show.
No problem.
Thanks, Dan. Take care, guys.
Have you on again sometime?
See you later.
Absolutely.
All right, so here we go. The Jamie 6 years. 5 years. So 1989 was kind of tough for me. I mean, Honey Shrunk the Kids came out that year. A lot of stuff came out that year. I went with Back to the Future Part 2 because I fucking love that movie almost more than the first one. Because
I would agree.
The only reason I say that because I love future. I love people showing in the future and potential futures. I love how it went back to the first film and referenced itself and then interacted with the first film. Like, what a fucking genius idea that doesn't get done a lot. Insidious Chapter 2 does, though. It was pretty good, actually. Back to the Future 2, it's for me, is the best thing ever. 88. So this is one I have to decide on right now. It was either down to Who Framed Roger Rabbit or They Live. And I think the more I think about it, I love Roger Rabbit so much, but They Live is such a great idea. Aliens have taken over the Earth, and there are these special sunglasses that you can wear to see who's an alien, who's human. Roddy Piper is the lead actor. He's a wrestler, and he is John Carpenter, so those classic 80s. That famous line, like, I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum. Yeah. And then also, not only that, but it started that whole Obey thing. That was in that movie. Like, they would have, like, these hidden messages and ads you could see with the glasses. Like, obey, consume, procreate. Like, telling you to do certain things. It was really interesting. 1987. Sorry, Dan. My favorite Verhoeven movie is RoboCop. 100%. And that was, like, my favorite movie of that year. Just violent as shit. Great social commentary on how we perceive violence. Actually ahead of its time for that, because now they'll show shit that's on graphic on TV. But back then, they were super afraid of doing that. 1986, another classic sci-fi remake, just like They Live. The Fly. David Cronenberg.
Have
you guys seen that?
I've seen bits of it. It's what's his name?
Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah.
So good.
I've seen bits of it, yeah.
One of the favorite things about this movie is it just starts. First scene is this party where he meets Gina Davis. Gets right into it, doesn't fuck around in any way. 85, my birth year, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Any surprise there? No. Awesome. Great film.
Best screenplay, I think, ever.
One of the best, yeah. Before we get into everything else with the 50th anniversary celebration, what's your Camille movie?
I'm going to go ahead and say My Week with Marilyn.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
So the communal movie for next week is My Week with Marilyn. If you guys want to join along, watch it and contribute your own thoughts when we watch it next week. And but yeah, it looks like Tim has to get going. So Tim, where can we follow you?
You can find me on Instagram at TimJimLimArtist.
Really quick, let's talk about my 52 pickup before we head over to our special guest stars here. We watched it last week together. You had never seen it, but we watched Eraser, the 1996 Arnold Schwarzenegger classic. I use that term loosely, but ironically. It was a really fun action movie.
Yeah, it was cool.
James Caan makes a great villain, as always.
Mm-hmm. And I liked that when I saw his name in the credits, I was like, oh, is he the villain? You were like, no, he's
I tried saying no, like, no, not at all. He's his buddy.
Uh-huh.
Because, he's a good villain, obviously, but I'm trying not to spoil it for you, you know, because you'll expect it. So spoilers for Eraser.
Yeah.
So the film's about this guy who specializes in erasing people after some traumatic event, whether it be mob or government issue. And it's like a step above witness protection. So he completely gets rid of all of your, it's almost like Men in Black.
He fakes your death.
Yeah, he fakes your death. You're dead as far as his records go, and you get to restart your life. And something goes wrong, and he saves his woman from death, but she's on to something big from a government contracting agency selling weaponry. He ends up saving her, but she doesn't really follow his orders, and she almost gets killed. He gets framed for murder for going rogue from his co-partner. His agent is
James Caan.
And then so he's on the run with this girl trying to clear his name and also save her. Really cool. Really fun. Alex, you talked about, like, you love the idea of this person who erases people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought they were going to go somewhere else with it. The place they went was really fun, but I think there's a lot of potential still.
Absolutely. But yeah, it was one of the things I watched as a kid. One of the few movies I got, you know, like, every time we watched an action movie on TV, my dad and I would just, like, bond over them. He would sit at the edge of his recliner. When the action scenes would start, he'd be like, let's Geo go! Like, you know, he'd clap, like, going crazy, and it was awesome. I loved it. It was funny to watch. And now we come to a very special segment. I know this is a long episode, but we are going to look back at the former guest of the show and also as well as the former co-host of the show. So we're going to kick it off with here. Be right back after these with the closing plugs. And we do apologize for one of the interviews. We're going to do that one first. It'll have a little of a popping sound. The recording was bad. We couldn't re-record it, but just keep that in mind. The first one will sound a little off, okay?
With me, I have Brian Melgren. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Jamie. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Thanks for including me.
Of course. Thanks for being on the show all those months ago. Now, you were on two episodes because we customarily do two at once.
The first episode, which was centered around, you know, movies that we were bringing to the table for conversation, I got to bring in Groundhog Day, the classic movie that most people saw and when it was released, but I didn't get to see it until summer of last year. Seeing it with kind of fresh eyes, it was a lot of fun, you know, and it really showed me how genius it was compared to, you know, modern comedies and what passes for comedy in movie theaters nowadays. Mm-hmm. And then the second episode, I was able to topic of how music is used in film from both a soundtrack standpoint, a score standpoint, and I had a lot of fun dissecting that with you guys.
Well yeah, and definitely. We wanted to have you on because we're an outspoken audiophile. And it's really cool to have. We didn't really have any topics at that point about music and film. It was cool to, because we all kind of brought our own versions of that. We were able to stretch our legs and talk music for once with somebody who knew what they were talking about.
it was great, you know, because I remember the first time I listened to Not Quite Hollywood was the Race in Hollywood episode.
Oh yeah,
and it really spoke to me, and I found that I was getting antsy while listening to it because I wanted to jump in and continue the conversation with you guys. Mm-hmm. And so given that, it made me think, okay, if they're open to discussing movie-based topics without me actually waxing idiotic about, you know, 2016 movies, which I'm not going to have anything to bring to the table, this is going to be a really fun time, and this is going to be very interesting for all parties involved. You know, exceeded my expectations. It's a lot of fun to listen to. I listened to both episodes several times, and you've got a really good thing going, and you can tell your passion, of course, and your excitement is applicable for the topic, and then, of course, you attract people that have such powerful opinions and interests and can bring their own excitement or their own caustic view, depending on, you know, which way the conversation is going. Your reviews and your outlook on some of the newer movies kind of made me feel comfortable, like, well, maybe I'm not missing as much as I thought I was, and here's a couple of hand-picked titles that I can check out that, you know, that you and John and August and your guests have recommended, you know, that make me feel like, okay, I have some backup here. I can go into these not feeling like I'm going to waste 2.5 hours of my time. You know, especially that crew, it was very easy for me to lock in because, of course, you have John, who's, you know, almost exactly my age. So we came up with very much the same frame of reference. Yep. Entertainment. You know, and then you have August, who is so locked into, like, foreign film and independent film and music, and it very much reminds me of how I was at his age. And, you know, when I had time and, you know, some extra cash and some extra enthusiasm to seek out things that weren't on everybody's radar, you know, it brought back some of that passion for me. And then, you know, your drive and your vision of bringing all of these conversations together, all of these opinions and personalities, it was just a blast. And I really appreciate the opportunity to sit down with you guys.
Well, that's a very high praise. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. You know, I mean, I'll admit I don't listen to the podcast much anymore. You know, my commute has been from, you know, 45 minutes down to 3. So, yeah. You know, and you guys are not the only ones that haven't gotten the cut. I also am not listening to Phone Calls podcast either. So,
oh no.
So you're in good company. You know, everybody got the cut, not just Not Quite Hollywood.
It's probably the only time I could ever be in the same camp as Stone Cold.
And that's the bottom line. Wish you all the best of luck in this avenue, and then, of course, anything else you tackle. You know, you have a lot on your plate, and I think that one of those things, or maybe multiple things, are going to prove to be very rewarding for you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Brian, and joining the show and being a part of it. And we certainly appreciate your contribution and your insight.
I'm glad that I had time to talk to you today, and thankful for the time we had on the show.
All right, everyone, it's a delight here to have Tony Crabtree, who guest starred on 23 and 24, The Hype Train.
That's right. I recall this well. I remember it like it was. No, I enjoyed my time recording those two episodes. Fondest memories. Not being able to pronounce Joe Bagos' name right.
Is it Bagos? Now I can't remember. Bagos or Bagos?
No one else knew who he was at the time, and I could not confirm. But I thought I remember it was Bagos on another podcast, and I believe I was then proven wrong by you later on outside of the podcast.
Not a thing I'm proud of. I just realized it hurts. I think I heard him talking about himself
It was so strange because I could have sworn I listened to an entire, like, I listened to a lot of podcasts, but I remember very specifically hearing him on a podcast and they pronounce it Bagos. But you know what? Hey, whatever. That's fine.
It's fine. Whatever. It's okay. It happens. No one will ever be able to pronounce my last name correctly, so it's okay. Hell, I can't even really do it.
Yeah, there's no point in trying. You're just Jamie. But I remember we talked about Suicide Squad. We talked about the future of the Friday the 13th franchise. There were so many good things that episode. But more importantly, like what I really remember was getting there and before doing the podcast, talking to you guys. And it blended in the podcast and the discussion. There was just something about it. It was just the perfect storm of just discussion. I loved it.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. We try to make it so it's seamless. You want to have a conversation and then kind of just break the ice. A lot of preconceived notions with podcasting is that you have to be on, essentially. And if you're able just to converse normally, you don't have to necessarily be on. You just have to be present.
Right, and exactly. And that's what I like about your podcast is that it just feels, there's a flow to it that doesn't feel forced, and it doesn't feel... And my problem was, like, when I first got on the show, the first, like, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I wanted to read from my script, you know?
Yeah, you did. You brought a detailed amount of notes. It was really impressive, actually.
They were notes. It wasn't like, a script or anything, but that's what I wanted to work off of, and... those are the parts for me that even when listening back to it, like I was like, these parts don't work. And then you listen to some other podcasts, some of your other episodes, and you're like, okay, I get the flow of things now. You're not really supposed to read or come in overly prepared. It's not to say you want to come in, with your pants down or anything, but I like the way that you work with your podcast. It's a good format.
Well, thanks. I mean, lately some episodes I'm like, seat of the pants trying to get them done. We're like, shit, we don't have a topic.
Hey, you know what though? Sometimes those are the best.
Sometimes they're not though.
Sometimes they're not, but sometimes, just like shooting the shit. That's kind of what podcasts can turn into, what it can be about. And it's those are my favorite moments from being on the podcast. No idea where it's going. Let's just talk about something. We had a good guiding post though, but if we didn't, I think we would have still come up with something pretty decent for those episodes.
Well, yeah, I think so too. What's funny is that the first two episodes we recorded, we were going to make it one episode. We were going to do topics and then our movies and topics, but it ended up being a good hour each. And that was the first two episodes we recorded were literally the first time we tried anything recording this podcast, and it worked perfectly. We gelled immediately. Like John August and I were able to just jump right in. Because we've done this many times before, like you said, off air, just talking to each other.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what film fans do, Like, I've seen you guys at, Batman versus Superman. We stepped outside Spotlight Cinemas talking about, it felt natural. Like, that's
how it goes, yeah. I don't know if you have anything else to add.
No, it's just, hey, keep up the good work. I listen as much as I can, definitely.
Well, that's nice. So far...
I know, it sounds like I should listen more, but,
Well, hey, I appreciate the honesty. Honestly, we're trying to, this is partially what we're doing here. This episode that you're in now is we're going to start trying to do more interactive topics with the listeners. Uh-huh. So you can kind of play along at home and comment your take of the certain things. So it's pretty interesting. There's a lot of plans coming up in the next 50 episodes, for example. So.
Yeah, no, well, I remember one of the things I remember us talking about was like, how do you create a community like online? You know what I mean? With a podcast.
If you can figure it out, let me know, because I'm still trying to do it.
I can't. No, if you figure it out, let me know. I'm intrigued, but will anyway, it's a great podcast. I love it.
All right, and that was Tony. Look forward to, you can go back to his episodes if you wanted to on episode 23 and 24. They're all on my blog, guyonawire.com, and we will hopefully have you back on one day. If I ever get back to Maine, I'm going to do a couple of bonus episodes just to kind of catch up. I still plan I plan on going sometime this year. We'll see.
I want to see you back on before you left, but I know we met up briefly before you left and no podcast came of it, but it was a great time still.
Hey, beer was a good substitute, so nothing wrong with that.
It was. That worked fine.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tony, for being on the show, and
thank you for being
on before and for helping out today, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right, everyone. So I have Brandon Doyen here from our collaboration, We Need Movies. How's it going, Brandon?
It's going quite well, Jamie.
Oh, that's so nice to hear.
It's nice to hear your voice. Oh. Strange to... across the pond, as I guess the UKs would say.
Yeah, we're not... I'm not in London, though.
No, and they're also just not called UKs either. But
good
to talk to you.
The UKs. Any UK listeners, any UK listeners, we apologize.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Brandon, yeah, you were on a couple episodes, actually three, because I was cheap and used one of our topics as a bonus episode.
You whore, Jamie.
I know, couldn't help it. Well, we had some weeks where we didn't record, and you were part of that time frame where we would record two episodes a week and then put two episodes a week out.
That's right, yeah.
And it was insane.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, now I'm smart about it, and we record two episodes at once, but we put them out one in a week. And it does help. I mean, I really wish we could get together in general once a week to have it more current, but overall, it's still a really good thing. It's way better than having two a week. That's how it kind of worked out, where it's almost exactly 52 episodes for the year, which is pretty cool. Even if we missed like fucking 10 weeks. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on this show, and you said you listened, so I wanted to see what your take is as a former guest star and as well as a listener.
I do still listen. And it's funny because I didn't know how the change or shift in tone of the show would happen or if it would occur, because I remember very vividly listening and when I was on the show that like you and I were the like common folk, like there are very few movies that you know we outright hated. I guess.
Sure.
And
sure.
I loved listening to John and August's like take on it, because it was usually very different from mine or yours, but at the same time it made for good like conversations. I was weary that if you got two new people in, it might not, you know, you guys might not have that same interactions. But Tim and Alex, I love listening to you guys. You guys have a good rapport. It's not all three of you never usually have, you know, 100% the same opinion, and you guys bring different enough to it that it's enjoyable to listen to, man. It gets me through many a car ride.
Well, that's good to hear, but let's be honest. I've become the August.
No, it's true. It's true, yeah.
Just out of proxy, I'm a little more highfalutin than the other two, so it's just like, oh, no. I love you, August. Don't take that personally.
But, no, it's good. I didn't expect it to not being a dick, but I just didn't expect it to flow as naturally as it did when you guys transitioned. Despite it having, I guess, a little different tone, it's still like just as enjoyable. And I still have not unfortunately met Tim and Alex because I'm all the way in Maine. But yeah. But it's just a good group of dudes, man.
Oh, cool. That's good to hear. I think you're one of the first people who actually I've talked to that actually listens to the show. Because it's true. I mean, some people, you know, it happens. One of my friends, Brian, who was on the show for a couple of episodes about music. You know, he had a baby recently. So, but he, you know, he's busy. I don't blame him. He has a 10-week old kid. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, I drive a lot, so I'm old. And that's it's sad that all I listen to, literally all I listen to, are just movie podcasts. Just, you know, from the bigger ones to small ones that I just find with people with interesting opinions or views. And I like the way you guys set up the show. You guys have, you know, different topics, and then you're still doing the communal movie. But so how does that work? I'm actually curious about how the communal, do you watch it together, or is it everyone watches it on their own type of thing?
We even back to when we was John and August and I, we tried to watch it together, and we would do that as often as possible. But we all wanted to. The idea behind the communal movie was to all at least watch it, and then so we all had something to say. Because if you've heard it, sometimes one of the guys don't see the other guy's movie, so it's just them talking. It's like a book report about this movie to the other guys. So having one where we all see it, it's a very conversational piece. It allows it to be a little more interactive between the three of us compared to the other case.
Right. Well, and I've also noticed that you guys seem to do a little more, I wouldn't say recent, but you guys do like theatrical releases, which you guys did do back in the earlier days, but it seems like it's a little more frequent now that you guys are doing, you know, movies that are just out in theaters. And so I like that, you know, there's no spoilers, but it's able to get me either psyched, pumped, or pissed off about a movie. So that's what I like to listen to, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's just out of necessity. I mean, we all are big movie goers here. So Tim and Alex and I all go to the movies almost every weekend. And so therefore we end up seeing them more often than not, which helps with the conversation.
Well, that and like in Maine, we don't have nearly the opportunities that you guys have, obviously, to like, you know, go to these awesome workshops and shit like that. And listening to that from my perspective is awesome. Especially like talking about preview screenings and shit. Like, that's stuff that we here in New England have no idea, you know. And you guys get, like, these limited releases, movies that would never be able to see up here, so it's a good chance for me to, you know. And film festivals and shit, dude, it's just, you know. I mean, you remember what it was like being in Maine, how much different it must be in L.A.
I'm still in awe how much should I get to do here. I mean,
yeah.
But that's why sometimes Tim and Alex, like, you really want me to talk about that? I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, I get to keep telling them most of the listeners still are in Maine, so they don't know this kind of stuff. They don't know this kind of world.
Yeah, see, I liked when you guys, because you guys did, I think, one or two episodes on just kind of like life in LA, what it was like, and what you guys do. And even that's interesting to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Brandon, thank you so much for joining us for this little segment here, and obviously, like I mentioned in the opening of this, we need movies as well. What else do you want somebody to follow if you're?
Dude, we're gonna start ramping up some stuff. I gotta get more reviews out there. I also do some Blu-ray stuff, so I'm trying to get more Blu-ray collection videos and reviews out. So hopefully, in the near future, if you want to check out We Need Movies on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook, hopefully you'll find a lot more of our content there. We've been around for, I think, we started about almost a year ago, right?
Yeah, this not quite Hollywood and We Need Movies are about the same week.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I know.
Yeah. I loved our earlier stuff where, you know, we were able to actually, like, talk and chat, just shit. But
yeah, that was cool.
Just to see you doing some individual reviews, man, I hope we can keep it going.
Yeah, we got to find a way to be more interactive. I'm still looking into how to do that, but yeah.
Thanks for having me, Jamie. I appreciate you. But I'm not going to listen anymore.
Oh, no. What did I say?
What did I say?
Fuck, what did I say? All right, thanks, Brandon. Take care. All
right, man. Bye.
All right, everyone. Now we have Joel Crabtree, who is...
Hey.
Did I just interrupt
the intro?
Kind of. That's all right. It's fine.
Do you want to do it again?
No, it's good. All right, everyone. Now we have Joel Crabtree, who was on four of our episodes, the most frequent guest we have had. And so, Joel, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. How are things out in LA?
Going well. A lot of interesting things to do. A lot of interesting things in my career path so far.
Yeah.
It's definitely the step in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely.
But because of my move, it was close to ending. And so that's why I wanted to reach out to everybody on the show, because 50 to me was a milestone, because we almost stopped at 38.
Oh, did you really? How did I not know that? Is it because of the move, I assume?
Yeah, John and August bowed out, so I was kind of in a bind, and I got Alex and Tim, thankfully, and kept the show going.
Yeah, awesome. No, it's been going well. The listeners have been enjoying it. So.
And you are as well a listener?
I'm a listener. I was a past guest, so yeah, so totally.
So you're deeply ingrained into this podcast.
You know, I am. I'm deeply ingrained in the podcast, and I'm a guy on the Wire blog.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
The nice. Instagram feed, come on.
Yeah, Instagram's a new thing for me. I'm still trying to learn it.
It's all good. You're doing well. All right, but yeah, so that was I began on episode 19.
Yes, that's correct. We had an interesting conversation about was it you, August, and I? We had Chris Hemsworth shirtless.
Yes, the Chris Hemsworth shirt. Yeah, that was like that was my big thing for the day, apparently.
Yeah, we talked about little men and coffee and cigarettes.
Yeah, and I remember. I guess the thing with that one was that was the first time I've ever met August.
Oh wow!
And I just I'd never met him before. I'd seen him around. I just didn't know who he was. So yeah, I got to meet August and hang out with you and talk about the Maine Film Festival, which is awesome because I never actually met anyone who had gone to the same like film festival as me. We were there and we didn't even know that we were there together, which is kind of funny. But
yeah.
That was a solid episode, and I very much enjoyed the Chris Hemsworth talk too.
Well, he was my least favorite part of the movie of Ghostbusters 2016. He was great.
I've since gone back and seen, and I didn't hate it. So
I don't know. It's
I know. I get it.
So yeah, we like I said, I was reaching out to the people who were on the show because it was fun, and this has already become like one of my favorite episodes ever. I haven't been jazzed about this in so long, like this to this level. It's great. I mean, is there anything else you wanted to share about the show or about the format or the whatever?
I totally do. I think it's one of my favorite things about being a guest on it was, you know, that we each came with films, and you didn't always know what the other person was even going to talk about. So there was an element of mystery to it, almost like a dating game show. You know, it was, the topics, it's the same deal. Like, you go in and you kind of, you're going in a little bit blind, which is fun because you can kind of, you know, you can kind of just shoot the shit and see what comes of it. And it's such a cool, free-flowing format that I really dig.
And it's funny, too, you say that, because I always debated, for everything I've ever done, I like the element of surprise. I hate spoilers. Mm-hmm. But there's some times where you want to have some kind of tease, but you don't want to, but also you do want to get them enticed to come into the rest of the episode. So nowadays, I'm finding myself kind of announcing what we're talking about in that episode at the beginning to kind of give people something to look forward to. I know it's in the description, but sometimes people don't read that. And I've always debated, like, is it better for us to talk about what we're going to talk about? Like, to at least acknowledge, okay, this is my movie, so they can start thinking about it? Or is there enough time while the person who chose that movie introducing it, is there enough time there for that other person to get their thoughts together?
Yeah, well, I think it works both ways, and I'm speaking more from like a guest perspective. So from my perspective, when August was talking about Coffee and Cigarettes, I hadn't seen Coffee and Cigarettes, and actually I still haven't, but I want to now. So it's kind of interesting because it's like having that element of surprise is kind of, because we didn't do it with any sort of, you know, when we were doing it back on episode 19, 20, and whatever, 23, 24.
Yeah.
We did it differently. We just go for it, you know. So I think that there's good and a bad of both things. But I think that I enjoyed the format just from a casual you and I and August, or you and I and Tony, just kind of talking about it, you know. And that was kind of fun for me because the element of surprise added to that, because when I was walked into the podcast, I had no idea. So from a guest perspective, it's different from, you know, a listener perspective, right? I think.
Oh, absolutely. The show continues on, and we are ever evolving it, including this episode. We're starting to do more we're trying to do more interactive topics, so the listeners can give feedback on their own based on what the topic is about. Like, for example, this one is regarding this Facebook post where everybody posts their favorite movies from every year that they were alive.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we had a good conversation about that. We just recorded that segment. And it's just funny because I was going to ask everybody who I talked to here today about that. But I was like, to have that kind of pressure on somebody. but please, when we post it Thursday, if you want to add your own, like even if you top, even the one from the year of birth, just add it in there on the Facebook post. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. No, I'm actually trying to think about the year I was born, what came out even. Well, I think Tony probably, I don't know if you've talked to Tony yet. Have you talked to Tony?
I did, but I didn't mention this at all.
Oh, you didn't mention, okay. No. Because I think that, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Day of the Dead, George Romero's Day of the Dead, that came out on either the day we were born or the weekend we were born, something like that. Anyway, not that that's my favorite from that year, hopefully, but we'll see.
I forgot you were born in 85, too.
Yeah, are you born in 85?
Yeah.
No way, July 5th?
No, June 25th.
I'm just joking. I know. We're not triplets. Don't worry.
Okay. No, I know. That's good, because I don't have the looks.
Oh, well, I do miss doing the show, for sure. I think that it's actually, you know, it's been, not only have my Orno Brewing trips been infrequent recently.
You mean non-existent?
With you not here, but we're also missing the, you know, being a part of the podcast. So we can only listen to it now and be, you know, or we can do things like this, which is cool. So, it's cool. I like what you're doing, and keep doing it.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate that. One day I'm going to go back to Maine. I'm going to like bring my equipment with me and just record some like stuff.
A reunion. We're talking about Chris Hemsworth. Nothing weird or anything.
We'll get him on the show shirtless, and that way you can revel.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to see it, so how would anyone know?
We'll take photos. I'll get a stand up cutout of him and Thor, and then I'll stand next to it. Like, oh, look at me and Chris Hemsworth. He's shirtless. Look at that.
He's shirtless. Look at that. Yeah, that was the running gag.
But thank you so much, Joel, for joining me and on this little milestone episode here.
It is. It is a milestone. 50. It's huge.
Is there anywhere else somebody can follow you?
They want to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, @JoelCrabtree, both.
Oh, nice. SEO.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
I got Guy on a Wire, I think, everywhere so far, so I've been lucky with that. But
I think you do. I think you have pretty much everywhere.
I just couldn't do my own name. There's already some people out there with my name.
Too many.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Your name's relatively common in the world of French? Canada.
So. Yeah. Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Yes, that's right. You were always making fun of my Canadian faux heritage.
Canadian roots. Yeah.
Motherfucker.
I'm not making fun of them. I'm just you know, you guys like professional wrestling and hockey. It's cool.
They like wrestling up there? I guess they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bret Hart. Are you kidding
oh,
me?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it called? Something Den? The Lion's Den?
Oh, the Lion's Den. Yeah. Yeah, they're the Lion's Den.
Training.
Did you train there?
Compound. Yes, I did. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you did.
It was me. It was me and Jim Neidhart,
the Anvil, yeah. Yep,
Anvil, yes. And then, of course, Owen, rest in peace.
Yep, I figured as much, yeah. You have the same style, so.
Yes, same hair and everything, too. Same goatee, same beard gut.
Same, everything. Everything is pretty much identical.
Yep, awesome. Love it. All right, well, thank you again, Joel, and it was a bit of pleasure. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely, thank you.
All right, and we have a delight here. We have our new correspondent for August Night Talks, August Anderson. How's it going, August?
It's going fantastic.
Really enjoyed your conversation about Terrence Malick. I actually am planning on seeing Song to Song some point this week.
Oh, really?
I almost went last night.
Oh, I didn't even see. It's not even showing up here in Maine, so it's like, I really want to see it.
But it just came out this week, limited release, so I'm sure it'll be there eventually, especially at
Railroad Square Center in Waterville.
The best theater in Maine besides Spotlight. I mean, there's
that's
other ones.
The only good one.
Yeah, but no, I it was a really cool talk about Terrence Malick. I talked about how he kind of just shifted one day into his own style.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Like, definitely, I mean, listeners, if you want to learn about Terrence Malick or get, like, a small introduction, check out that episode.
So, we just wanted to know, like, August, you've been on the majority of the episodes now, and what's your perspective on the show? What's your take on the show?
My take on the show is that it is something that is needed for podcasts, especially dealing with film, because what I see with a lot of film podcasts, they're just talking about the latest movies, and that's kind of like it, and they just think it was good, it was bad, and that was really it. I like how with Not Quite Hollywood, it's kind of introspective, kind of gets down into it, and it's not just about movies, but aspects of movies, you know, the industry, and, you know, positives and negatives.
There were definitely a lot more negatives when you and John were on. Not that you guys were negative, but you were more critical of the Hollywood system, which I appreciate. I feel like I've become the August of the group now, because the other guys are definitely, they go see a lot of stuff every week, but they don't have, like, the, not a dismissive thing, but they just don't have the...
Oh, yeah.
They don't have the breadth of movies viewed yet. Like, I'm still working on my list of movies I've seen, and obviously thanks to you in a large part, last year was a slew of movies that I've never seen that type of movie before, I mentioned before. And I think just a matter of opening up to different experiences is really cathartic, but also very insightful into seeing different aspects of film and how a film is made in different ways.
Oh, absolutely. And like, that is something that I see in the podcast, is definitely like doing that. Just like, you know, saying, hey, you know, this is a movie that probably not a lot of people know about, or, you know, sometimes it's not even a good movie. You know, sometimes it's hard to be a good movie.
Oh, damn. Dig that one in.
Call back. Like, I like the idea that, hey, at least I'm seeing something new.
Yeah.
That it's not just being like, okay, this is just another movie with a different color of paint on it.
Right. So people who've listened to this whole episode in a row are going to hear this a lot. But so our first topic, we only did two today because obviously it was a long, two of them were really long. We're trying to do more interactive topics. And there was a Facebook post recently that kind of got us inspired. What's your favorite movie from every year that since you've been born? And it's amazing. It's so much harder than you think. And the person who inspired me was Alex's friend Dan, who we had on the show. And I lost my mind. I was so excited because he has a list that would be more aligned with what you would say. And it was more because it's more out there. It's not more mainstream. I found myself personally was a lot more sci-fi oriented. But with Dan, he, like, his 95 was Lahaine, which was amazing because you had talked about that in an episode.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a lot of good documentaries too, The Art of Killing and Restrepo and all these different things. It was cool. It was really cool to hear.
Yeah, I would love to talk about Lahaine. Definitely with Dan.
Yeah.
That's a good choice for that year.
Yeah. And I was telling John this too, and it came to me as we were talking earlier. If you wanted to also be a part of like the Facebook group or our Facebook page, rather, just post about, like, you could do a review, you could do whatever you want, write about something that you want to speak about in that forum and keep that side alive too. Because that's something that John said he wanted to do, and I was like, that's a good idea. So we could always, you could always post your own list of all these movies that, of the years, or you can just do whatever you want. There's really no time frame. There's no restrictions. Just write about movies. That's the only requirement.
That's what I'm liking about with Not Quite Hollywood podcast, is that it has these different aspects to it. Yeah. Where it's like, you know, we can just drop little blurbs there on the Facebook page. So, you know, there's some content right there. And it's just not being like, look at this, just being like, hey, if you're interested, you know, read this.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of like to do with my, night talk. I need to cook up some more. just like, you know, hey, just talk out my ass about a movie or a director. And I really like that aspect. It's not just being just a podcast.
Exactly.
Like, it's kind of more of like a information sharing space or a conversation space.
Yep.
And it's taking, you know, full use of Facebook in that aspect.
Well, we're definitely trying that to the get to that point.
We all just need to pitch in. I mean, it'll easily get to that point.
Well, we have, still have yet to have anyone email us, so it's really frustrating.
Well, I mean, I did email you the Google Drive files. So
oh, yeah.
I give myself $5.
You can give yourself $5 all damn day if you want. Yeah, do you have anything else you wanted to add about the history of the show or any insights on your end from when we were recording in John's room or anything?
Other than the fact that, like, I miss it, like, sit in a room with, you know, people who also have an interest in film and just shooting the shit about it. Yeah. And, I mean, sometimes we disagree. It's fun to disagree, and just, like, everyone has their different point of view, and just, like, comparing that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you definitely helped me with realizing, you know what, I don't have to be such an asshole about film.
That's crazy. I didn't mean to put that on you.
Oh, no. Like, it made me have some introspective insight about myself and being like,
sure.
Okay, though this movie doesn't challenge me in any way, I can still view it as just being entertainment. And you know what? That's all that they're doing. They're not trying to make the greatest movie ever. They're just like, just want to entertain people.
Right.
So, I mean, I know I'm looking forward, and another 50 episodes would be amazing for Not Quite Hollywood podcast.
I think
and
so, too.
I'm excited to see it grow.
Here's hoping.
See, you know, like, more people join in. Like, it's fun.
Maybe we'll get Terrence Malick on the show.
You know, the funny thing is probably Terrence Malick would. Like, he doesn't do interviews or stuff like that, but he's like, oh, this, you know, small little film podcast? All right, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, this little obscure thing. No one's going to listen to it anyway. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, August, for joining us here with this little mini celebration of the show. And, well, thank you again, August, so much for joining us on this milestone episode, and we look forward to the next Night Talk.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm glad to be here at the celebratory's 50th episode.
Well, we wouldn't be here without you, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, take care.
Yep, see you.
All right, this is a blast from the past. We have John, the former co-host of Not Quite Hollywood, the former co-creator, and the guy who also gave us the logo and the name. Hey, John, how's it going?
That was all me. That was all me.
All credit belongs to John Gaio.
I'm not big on credits. I don't care. As long as it keeps going.
All right, so if you're in Star Wars universe, you're fucking broke, is what you're saying.
Pretty much, yeah.
Space credits. This is nice because this is the first time you've been on the podcast since I think 38 was the last one you were on, and August, as you may know, recently started doing like these little August Night Talk segments.
He's mentioned those.
It's been pretty exciting because he's talked about Terrence Malick actually recently, so that was pretty cool. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on the show and the history. You know, obviously you have the most of, so what's your take on the show?
My take on the show was, I mean, back when, because you know I was living in Northern Maine for a while.
Yeah.
And when I moved back down to Bangor, moved in with you guys, I was totally like, I don't care what we do as long as we do something that's creative. You know, something that's fun. It doesn't have to be like full-blown productions of anything, or as long as it's just we can sit down and have a creative, fun talk about the things we love. And we all love movies, so I figured that was the perfect vehicle for it. And I mean, it was really a way for us to sit down, because you know when you're in a position where it's like, I can't get, like, there's no creative outlet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you want to do a big project and it falls apart, or something happens here, or people aren't available, or all this. And I was just like, I just want something, like, concentrated and small and easy to do. And it was. I mean, we just sat down on my computer, had the Blue Yeti mic,
mm-hmm.
and were able to just dump our heads out, you know? And yeah. It turned out to be really fun.
Yeah.
And it was a lot more fun than I anticipated, because I had tried podcasts in the past and just things fell apart with them, just because of whether it was technical or people weren't around or other things. So it was nice to see that this just kept going. Like, every week we were able to keep it going. You know, sometimes we weren't available or I wasn't available, but we had plenty of people in the area that were excited to come on and be guests and stuff, like Joel and Brian.
I was going to say, I was speaking to Tony yesterday, Joel's brother, and it was funny because I was telling him how this, we just sat down and recorded the first two episodes thinking it was going to be like a trial run of the first episode. But it was such a beautiful, like, we were already, like, prepared segment-wise. It felt like it was somehow an extension of what we had been doing years in the bars, just talking about films and venting about things that frustrated us or excited us. And it was just a very simple extension of that.
Exactly. I mean, I remember how many of those conversations where we stopped and said, that should have been a podcast.
Yeah, we did. Somewhere. A lot.
Because, whenever I have conversations like that, especially, like, just comfortable social conversations and, like, pubs and stuff, I'm always like, I wish I had that recorded. I wish I had that all there, because we said a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
So the podcast was the perfect way to do that.
And we tried a couple, like, we tried in, like, 2011, we tried doing some podcasts about general stuff, gaming and all that, but I don't know, it was harder back then, because we were doing Guttersnipe videos, and it was hard to keep everything in balance.
Yeah.
And
well, it's because, I mean, people like me and you and August and I, like, we want to do a lot of things. Like, I always want to do a lot of creative things.
Yeah.
You know, and then finally, as I'm getting older, it's like, I think it's much smarter to just concentrate on one or two things for a while.
Sure, sure.
And, I know, like, when you had moved out to California, like, one of my things was, well, I know the podcast might get a little more complicated, like using Skype or something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the reasons I made the decision, like, I'm going to back out on it just because I'm in Bangor and I want to concentrate what I can do in Bangor.
Yeah.
And, I mean, August is even, hopefully, I know it's his plan, he wants to move to Boston soon.
Right.
So I've kind of gravitated more towards, what can I do independently, creatively? I mean, we were talking about earlier, like, the camera I picked up, you know what I mean? I want to do, like, short films, I want to do photography, I want to do things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly not against, because I'm coming back around, I've been finding movies lately, like, discoveries, little gems,
yeah.
where I'm like, I want to discuss these things. So definitely have me as a guest soon.
Yeah, I mean, and not only that, we can, because I'm trying to, this starting with this episode, episode 50, we're doing more interactive topics, and I think it would be cool if we could continue written form, especially from you in August, on the Facebook page or the Twitter page, you know, something where you could still use that platform to get your thoughts out there.
You know, you're right. I never even really thought of that until you mentioned that.
It just came to me.
Like I said, I've had some discoveries of films that I would have been like, this would be a perfect podcast to discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I could just throw them up on the Facebook.
Because I think you just drop down, log in as Not Quite Hollywood, and just post something, just tag your name at the end. You can do whatever you want, honestly. You used to do those all the time in your personal page. Anything else you wanted to add on the 50th episode?
I wanted to drop your old school style like we used to. I'm going to drop two little gems that I discovered.
All right, go for it.
Okay, because this is my big thing. I'm big into this right now. Is 1960s and 70s Japanese samurai films. I know the big names that everyone knows is Akira Kurosawa and, like, Yojimbo and Seven Samurai.
Right.
But if you want to know, like, directors like Tarantino, everyone says Tarantino's a genius, and he is. But if you want to know, like, truly where directors like Tarantino have been influenced, there's two series, okay? One is Lone Wolf and Cub, which was based on an anime. And it was six films, and they starred, if I can pronounce his name, I hope I don't want to be disrespectful, Tomosaburo Wakayama, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He did six films, and I'm telling you, these films, they take violence and gore, and they make it art. And it's the best versions I've ever seen. Like, that decapitation in an artful shot, it just blew my mind.
Wow.
The other series is Zatoichi, the Blind Swordsman, and that stars Shintaro Katsu, okay? Now, which is weird, because when I first saw these two films, I was like, those two actors look very familiar. Well, they look like each other. And okay. I thought, is this the same actor? And he just changed his name? Turns out they were brothers.
Huh.
Okay? So Shintaro Katsu, who did Zateyochi, he did 25 films between 1962 and 1973. So in 11 years, he
Holy
did 25
shit.
Films. Yeah. It's insane. And again, you know, it's awesome samurai choreography and action scenes and stuff. And then his brother did Lone Wolf and Cub for 6 films. Now, these two basically dominated Japanese cinema in the 60s and 70s. And yet, they're not really well known. I mean, I've been around a lot of film buffs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people know about these films. But I can't recommend them any more because they're amazing. And the Criterion Collection has 2 amazing collections that I picked up. If you're looking to get into it, I would suggest to go with Lone Wolf and Cub. 6 films, all 6 are great. And it's a little cheaper on the wallet there, about $60 for
yeah,
that collection.
I'd seen your post about them. Yeah, it looks fantastic. I've always wanted to get into that kind of film.
And Zatoyoshi's one's a little, and sometimes you can find it on like Barnes & Noble and they do their 50% off sale. But the Zatoyoshi one will run you between about $100 to $200 if you want that collection.
Wow.
But you're getting 25 Blu-ray films, you know, with it.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, okay. Cool.
But yeah, I wanted to talk about that a little bit just because I was like, I love it when I find a little discovery that is kind of like lost to time. And it's like, no, bring this back. Everyone needs to watch this. Filmmakers need to watch this. Like, now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll have to check that out. Thanks for the recommendations. That's awesome.
No problem.
But yeah, I'm going to get back to the podcast here. But I thank you so much, John, for joining us here. And
thank you for having me.
Thanks for being instrumental or integral to the beginning of this show and being gracious enough to let us continue it.
Oh, of course. And my whole goal is now that Jamie's in California, I'm like, yeah, get some people in California. Make the show even bigger. You know, try to get it out there, which would be awesome.
We got Tarantino on the podcast.
I'd be like, I want to be a guest then because I have some words for Tarantino.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, shit.
Yeah. I'll hold back.
All right, man. Well, thank you again, and we'll talk to you later.
Awesome. Thank you, Jamie. We'll talk later.
All right. Bye.
So thank you once again to Tony, Joel, Brian, Brandon, August, and of course, John, the creator of this podcast name and artwork and everything else. We thank you all for joining us for this little mini reflection on the past 50 episodes. If it wasn't for, again, Tim and Alex, this show wouldn't have continued, and I'm just really glad we get to 50 at all.
And thanks to Dan.
Thank you, Dan, for joining us on this episode. And just so people know, 44 Minutes is a podcast about obscure records, and you guys just pick one and talk about it for the week. Brian Melgren, that's right up your alley. And of course, thank you, Tim, he had to leave early. But where can we follow you, Alex?
You can follow me on Instagram at meandmyblazer. And on my blog, Doggone Movie Reviews.
So you call it Doggone because you love dogs?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like a stupid question,
like,
but yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
But Doggone Movie Reviews, you know, it sounds like, yeah, that's cool. I just named mine because I was trying to make somebody pronounce my name right.
Oh, yeah.
Guy on a wire. I'm like, it's close enough. Guy on.
Oh, is that why? I saw it when we were going through. I saw the movie Man on a Wire, and I was like, oh, I wonder if Jamie likes this movie, and that's why he named it.
I've never seen it. That was Mel Gibson? Or no, it was Bird on a Wire. Idea. Man on a Wire was the Sam Worthington.
Was it?
Yeah. Really weird.
Is that recent?
Yeah, it's 2011.
Huh.
Yeah, speaking of Guy on a Wire, that's where this podcast post, guyonawire.com. I also do We Need Movies with Brandon, whom you heard of recently. And also follow us on Twitter. On Twitter, we're NQHPod. On Facebook, we're Not Quite Hollywood. Email if you ever want to email us. Again, no one has yet. So if you want to be the first one, Here you go. We're at notquitepod@gmail.com. And of course, subscribe in iTunes. Keep that going. We're going to do this interactive. We'd love to have you share your list of movies since you were born and get an insight into our listeners to see what kind of films you liked. So post on our Facebook page at Not Quite Hollywood, or you can do like a twit long and do it like a tweet that way.
I don't know if it would fit in a tweet.
No, twit long. Twit long is like you can extend a tweet.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's an app you can use, or you can just do a Facebook, either way. We'd love to hear what you have for your movies, and it's just really cool because obviously mine was more sci-fi heavy, and then everybody had their own, like Dan had a very eclectic and cinematic list, and I love that.
By the way, I just want to say, I really like the name for Not Quite Hollywood, and I love that, like, you were in Maine, it was called Not Quite Hollywood, and now we're in North Hollywood, and it's still Not Quite Hollywood.
No, it's not.
And it's called Not Quite Hollywood. It's great.
I mean, even when I was in my other place, when we did the first episode with you, it still wasn't technically Hollywood. Yeah. It was Los Angeles.
It's just funny that it started, like, furthest away you could get from Hollywood.
Pretty much. In the country.
Yeah.
Maybe Alaska or Hawaii beat us out, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. And that was the funny thing about it is just, yeah, I definitely thought about that when I was here. I was like, wow, but we're actually in Hollywood now. Kind of. But yeah, it's still not Hollywood.
Not quite.
Yeah. yeah, as you may not know, this was based off of a documentary about Ozploitation films. That's what he got the title from. If you haven't seen that, that's a great doc. Not Quite Hollywood.
Hmm.
It's about Australian films. They got like this birth, amazing quality, like B films in that 70s, 80s area. That's where Mad Max came from.
Hmm.
But yeah, so if you wanted to kind of take a look at the episodes that our guests were featured on. So episode for Joel, episode 19 and 20. And then Brandon was 21, 22. And then the bonus episode, number one, the year in film so far of 2016. And then Joel returned on 23 and 24 with his brother Tony. And they're both on there. And of course, John and August were on the first 38 episodes. So that's where these people are. So this has been Not Quite Hollywood, episode 50. Again, thank you for everybody who listens, for people who contributed today. This is just it's a fun thing for us to do. We're going to do more interactive topics in the future because we really want to have our audience have their own voice told as well. And that's the beauty of this internet medium. It gives us the freedom to do that. So we certainly appreciate you guys listening and reaching out. Please do that. Again, I'm Jamie.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Quite Hollywood. Thank you so much.